Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Okay, let's go on into our study then today in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 45. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 45. It's called Made Free. Now, the problem with the Pharisees is that they didn't understand the condition they were in, and Jesus Christ had been telling them the condition they were in and telling them what he could do about it. And the reason they couldn't change is that they were in bondage. And so what we're going to look at today is we're going to look at what happens, what would have happened to them, what happens to a person before they receive Jesus Christ, the condition they're in, what happens to them when they get saved. You're made free. Now watch it. First of all, in this text, you're made free from the blindness of sin, the blindness of sin. Look at verse 33 again. They answered him. We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye should be made free? Well, obviously they didn't see their bondage of sin, but we'll talk about that in a minute. They didn't even see the fact that they were in bondage to other men. They say, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. That's just utter blindness. That's foolishness. Because you know from reading your Bible something they should have known concerning their own history. Now, here I am. I'm a Gentile. I didn't come from Abraham's seed. So why should I be interested at all in the history of Abraham's seed? Well, because God told us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we read the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is filled with prophecy and filled with history concerning the Jews. And when you read that history, you go back there into the book of Exodus, and you find out that the Jews were slaves in Egypt under a king named Pharaoh, or a titled Pharaoh. He was an Assyrian king. And they were put in bondage to those Egyptians and to those Assyrians that were in Egypt back there in the book of Exodus. So they're blind to their own history. We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. Yes, you were. You were in bondage to Pharaoh in Egypt. Not only that, they had gotten so steeped in idolatry and had quit observing the Sabbath, where the land was laid out. And after they put up with that for 490 years like that, God finally said, okay, this land is going to enjoy its Sabbaths for 70 years. And he actually took the Jews captive out of Judah and moved the survivors of the attack by Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan. They took those survivors captive into Babylon, left just some of the poor folks there to manage the land. And they were in serious captivity in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. But that's not all. At the time that Jesus Christ is talking to them here, they're in bondage to Caesar, and they have been put under a tribute to pay a tax to Caesar. And there's no Jew that should have done that in his own land. But they had to because they were in bondage to the Romans. So they were in bondage to the Egyptians, they were in bondage to the Babylonians, they were in bondage to the Romans. And they were totally and absolutely blind to their true condition. Now, they're not any different than you were before you got saved, or some of your friends are before they get saved. And the true condition of a believer is that he is ungodly. He is a sinner. He's on his way to hell. He's without Christ. He's without God, and he's without hope. That's Ephesians chapter 2 and Romans chapter 5. He's in bondage to sin, but he's blind to that true condition. People get upset when they come to church, where the Bible is preached. And there are a lot of churches that still preach. There, most of them don't preach it, not like that anymore, but there are a lot of them that still do. And when the guy gets up there and he says, bless God, you're going to hell without Christ, an ungodly sinner doesn't want to be told that. Now, I've dealt with people before about their sin, and they'll agree that they're a sinner like everybody else is, but that's sort of a herd condition. They don't think they're a bad enough sinner to get thrown into hell. And the reason that they don't think that is because they are blinded by sin. And God said, I'll make you free from that. When a person gets saved, not only are they free from the blindness of sin, they're also free from the bondage of sin. Look in verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now, they were totally in bondage to sin. That is, that sin working in their members would tell them certain things that they were to do, certain things that they were to think, certain things that they were to see a certain way, and that's the way they did it. Now, you know what? You may have been hooked on dope, or you may have been hooked on alcohol before you got saved, and bless God, by the grace of God, you've gotten off of that. Now, the thing that made you free from that is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that he gave you. And before you got saved, you were so hooked and so on that stuff that you literally did not have the power to get off of it. You were in bondage. And I'll tell you, people that have recovered from that by going to AA or some other things like that and have bypassed salvation in Jesus Christ, can never say more than that they are a recovering addict. A recovering addict. They can't say, I've been made free. And the reason is they don't have Jesus Christ. And when you get Jesus Christ, you are made free from the bondage of sin. Now, I can remember when Jack Daniels used to say, you got to take a drink. I had to take a drink. And then all of a sudden one day, Jack Daniels said, you have to take a drink. And I was made free. And I said, I don't have to take a drink. And I didn't, because I was no longer a servant of sin. Look at Romans chapter 6 at verse 16. Now, the Bible says in Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things, whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, the end, everlasting life. See that? Now, have you ever thought why he said in Romans 6:18 and Romans 6:22, made free from sin? Have you ever thought why he said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about why he said in verse 36 of John chapter 8, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed? You see, the term is made free, or make free. And you know something? When people quote that, they quote that wrong. They quote it the way the modern Bibles do it. The modern Bibles say, set free. And you know something? There's a difference. Actually, to be set free implies that you were right before you were taken captive, and that all you have to do is be set free, that is, released from captivity, and you'll be back to the way you were. That's not what happens in salvation. In salvation, you are made free. And the reason is, you before you got saved, were not taken captive. You were actually born as a child of the devil. And you're going to see that here in just a minute when we deal with a little bit more with these Pharisees. And in order, if a child of the devil is simply set free, guess what? He is just a released child of the devil. Nothing has changed, and in fact, he may be running outside of the prison bars, but he is still destined to die. He's still going to suffer the consequences of his sin, and therefore, he is being set free did nothing for him. Take, for instance, a child of the devil that is hooked on dope or hooked on alcohol, and he goes through some sort of experience where he is set free from the alcohol. He may assume by that he has gotten saved, that he has been made free, when in fact he's not made free, he's just set free from that sin. And the truth of the matter is, he's still on his way to hell. He said, well, it just can't happen that way, preacher. If a man set free from the bondage of the sin that he was in, then definitely he's been saved. And I say to you, I have seen firsthand situations where that is not true. Now, I worked with a group one time years ago, had an experience of preaching a revival-type meeting with them, or they came in there, and I'm going to tell you what happened here, to be real brief here, but show you this thing. These guys would get up there, and they'd give their testimony. They'd say, well, I went to this group. The group at this time was called Teen Challenge. Went to this group, and I was all hooked on drugs and strung out on this and fornication, that, and everything, and went through about 25 minutes of how terrible their life was. Then I went over there, and bang, this miracle of God came on me, and I was set free from my dope, or I was set free from my alcohol. Now, I got suspicious about that because I heard testimony after testimony exonerating sin and then talking about this miraculous swelling feeling that came over this sinner who was then all of a sudden set free from the bondage of sin. My suspicion was they might not be saved. And that, in fact, the devil had tricked them by releasing them from the alcohol into believing that, therefore, they had been released as a child of God and also made to be on their way to heaven. So I asked one of these guys, I said, let me ask you something. Let's say that I'm on my way I'm a real drunk and I've got to get off this booze. And I come to you and I say, man, I got to get off this booze and I got to get with Jesus. He said, well, let me tell you what happened to me. And he goes through his 25 minutes of sin and he says, bang, this feeling came over me and I mean, God just took that alcohol away from me. I say, great, okay, now, bang, the experience happened to me. I'm off the alcohol. Now I want to get saved. I want to trust Jesus Christ. I want to be on my way to heaven. What would you tell me? He says, man, and he goes through his 25-minute spiel on the life of sin, and then he says, and bang, this thing came over me, and I was free from alcohol. I said, great, amen, glory to God, I'm free from my alcohol, but now I got to go to heaven, and so tell me what I need to do. And he says, 25 minutes of what happened to him when he was a sinner, and then bang, this experience came on me, and I was free from alcohol, and I said, fella, you've told me that three times. We're off the booze, but now I'm trying to get out of hell and go to heaven. He said, well, I'm sorry. You'll have to ask the counselor about that. I don't know what to tell you. And I went to another guy. Same deal. Well, I'm not going to make a judgment about their soul, but I'll tell you what, the confession of their own mouth, all I saw was that they got, quote-unquote, set free from the bondage of sin, but they weren't made free. Out of the own testimony of their mouth, it sounded like these guys were still lost, that they had not actually received Jesus Christ, that they were on their way to heaven and out of hell, and all of a sudden I find these guys are this is a terrible situation. It looked like a new trick of the devil, something to get you off the alcohol, but still get you, as a child of the devil, on your way to hell. What a terrible sham. And sounds like some of that may be still going on today, so it's not set free, it's made free. I am no longer a child of the devil. I am now a child of God. So that leads me to the next thing. Not only are you made free from the blindness of sin and the bondage of sin, but you're made free from the consequences of sin. Look in verses 35 and 36. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. What's the deal? Well, the deal is that the Son lives forever, and anybody who is then made free by the Son is going to live forever, because the servant, he doesn't live forever. He doesn't abide in the house forever. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We read in Romans chapter 6, verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Therefore, death hath no more dominion over us. You see, that's why Jesus Christ told some people that were getting saved back there in John chapter 5, that when a person gets saved, he has everlasting life and is passed from death unto life. He's a new creature. He had told those Pharisees in John chapter 8, he said, the problem with you guys is you are going to die in your sins. Remember, we did a broadcast on that last week. You're going to die in your sins. Listen, according to 1 Corinthians 15, we are in bodies of corruption. We are in bodies of mortality. We are in bodies that are going to die. And we have got to be made free from this mortality, from this corruption, and from death. We need to be able to say, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And the only way that that can happen is you and I have got to be made free. We've got to be made new creatures in Christ and escape the consequences of sin. This is a terrible trick that the devil's playing on the church these days. So we see that when a person is made free, not set free, made free, like the King James Bible says, he's free from the blindness of sin. He knows his true condition. He's free from the bondage of sin. Therefore, he's not held anymore and under the control of sin. If he goes back into sin, he does it because he's choosing to. He's free from the consequences of sin. He's not going to go to hell, and his death is only a temporary holding place for his body. His soul's going to be right with the Lord, and his body's eventually coming up incorruptible and immortal. But not only that, he is free from the father of sin. Look what he said there in verse 44. You have your father, the devil. See, they kept saying, we're Abraham's seed. He said, no, you're of your father, the devil. Now, they could trace their earthly lineage to Abraham, but John the Baptist said about their earthly lineage, he said to him in Matthew chapter 3 when he was baptizing some of these characters, he said, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Don't think your big pride on your lineage there. And they kept saying that. They kept saying that when Jesus was talking to them. He said to him in verse 37, I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. And then they said, Abraham is our father in verse 39. They say here, God is our father in verse 41. But the truth of the matter is, none of that was true. Spiritually, they were in the devil's family, and that caused them, as a result, four huge problems of the father of sin. And when you get saved, God Almighty makes you free from the father of sin and these four problems that result. Number one, they were murderers. Look in verse 37. You seek to kill me. Look in verse 40. Now you seek to kill me. Look in verse 44. He was a murderer from the beginning. These guys were bloody murderers. And all they wanted to do was kill the messenger. I'm going to tell you something. In good preaching, there is something in human nature that wells up inside of a man that says, I'll destroy that preacher. And usually, rather than actually carry out the motive, the guy just leaves and never comes back to church and dies and goes to hell. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 23 was dealing with these poor Pharisees, and he said in verse 34, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias. All these things shall come upon this generation. They were murderers, and eventually they were responsible for killing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if they had been made free by Jesus Christ here, just like he said, believed on him, continued in his word, become his disciples, they wouldn't have been murderers. But they couldn't get away from it. They had to kill him because they were the servants of sin, and they were the servants of their father, the devil, the father of sin. Not only that, they were liars. They were liars. They said about Jesus Christ, he said, we be not born of fornication. The implication was there that they believed that Joseph was his real father, and he'd been lying about God being his father. In verse 48, they said to him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? That's just a lie. In verse 44, the devil can't speak the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. So anybody following him is a liar. In Matthew chapter 26, they raised up false witnesses about the Lord Jesus Christ because they're liars. And when the guards came to tell what happened at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief priest paid them big money to lie and say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. They're liars. And nothing's changed. They're lying today. They're murderers. They're liars because their father told them to kill Jesus Christ. Their father, the devil, told them to lie. They had to serve him. Their father also said, don't love him. Be a hater of God. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me, in verse 42. But they couldn't. And the first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. And they could not do it. They couldn't do it. They hated Jesus Christ. They couldn't love him. Jesus said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. So these guys were murderers because their father told them to do it and they weren't made free. They were liars because their father told them to do it and they weren't made free. They were haters of God because their father told them to do it and they weren't made free. And not only that, they were deaf. The devil had stopped their ears. In verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. They were deaf. Jesus told them, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And be careful what you hear. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it should be measured to you, and unto you that hear, the more shall be given. And what they did is they wrote it off. They wrote off what he was saying as a lie, and God nailed them. It was terrible. So when you're made free, by being saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are made free from the blindness of sin. You see your true condition after you get saved. And if you'll deal with God in your true condition, you can get saved now. You're free from the bondage of sin. You don't have to do the sin anymore. You can be a servant of righteousness to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are made free. You're a new creature. You're freed from the consequences of sin. No more corruption and immortality for your body, no death for you. You're going to pass from death unto life, and you're free from the father of sin. You don't have to murder the preacher, lie, hate God, and be deaf to the words of God. That's a tremendous thing that happens in salvation, and that's what he wanted the Pharisees to do. Well, there you go. A little more a lesson on the book of John.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.